This is a privilege to be sharing this special service with you this afternoon. And are you ready? No response. You must be dog-tired or fallen asleep already. Are you ready? Are you? The kids were louder than the adults. They're ready, boy. Well, it is an exciting time, and it's sure nice to be able to be over here and share this time with you. On December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Thrilled by all this, they telegraphed this message to their sister, Catherine, and the message simply said, we have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. Catherine, she was so excited too when she got the message that she ran right down to the local newspaper to the editor down there, and he showed him this message. Well, he glanced at the message and he said, "How nice, the boys will be home for Christmas." You didn't see the humor in that? Yeah, it was just amazing how he totally missed it, didn't he? He looked at this good news that was right before him there in print, and he missed it, that man had flown. Christmas is kind of like that, isn't it? It's so exciting, but we get so busy that we miss the big news. In all the commercial hubbub, we get so wrapped up in the wrappings that the true meaning of Christmas gets harder to see each year. It's great that we have Christmas programs and Christmas Eve services like this one. It's great that we have them, for at least it slows us down just a little bit so that we can at least catch our breath. But it also gives us an opportunity then to refocus, doesn't it? To refocus on the real reason for Christmas. Kathy and I, we were privileged to be able to experience this year a great Christmas concert at the Rutland High School. We got to hear the kids sing, and then we got to experience two church Christmas programs thanks to grandkids. And the kids all did a super job, much like I'm sure the kids did here at Calvary Free. It was a great opportunity for the kids to participate in this event that happens once a year. And we all are thankful for that because we have all then been introduced and brought back, we've been drawn in, I guess would be even a better word, into the accounts of the Savior's birth. And to rediscover the desire of God's heart for all who will listen. It's at this time of the year, isn't it, that we express to others what's in our hearts and what's on our minds and how much we appreciate others that we are making a connection with. And sometimes we express ourselves verbally, don't we? But more often, we write in cards and we mail them off to them. These words of expression that we just want to get out and we want to get it to them. Well, God did the same thing. Only he wrote his feelings in the books we call the Gospels. And mostly the Christmas story is found in Matthew and Luke, but even Mark and John hold the great desires God has for all his people. John chapter 1, it's here through Jesus, who is God's word, that God reveals his heart and mind to us. Verses 1 through 2, familiar words to us all. In the beginning was the Word meaning Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Down to verse 14, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The opportunity of an eternity with God has been given to all who will believe in Christ. But unfortunately, as we all know, many, many folks have decided to not listen, and have missed the big news of salvation. You have to wonder, don't you? You have to wonder, who in the world would want to miss this kind of news? Life-saving news. We could pick on any number of folks for examples, but let's just consider the principal players of the Christmas story, the principal people of our Christmas story. Joseph, for example. Joseph was one of them who wanted to miss this whole crazy thing that he was introduced to. He wanted to bail out on Mary. Remember Matthew's account, verse 18? This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But he didn't do it. We're glad, aren't we, that he didn't do it. Joseph, he had to be quite a man. Quite a man. But unfortunately, there are very few glimpses of Joseph, the man, in the Bible. And most of the glimpses that we have are right here in the Gospels at the Christmas story account. And that we've just read and that you've heard from the kids at the program. For all he was asked to do and all he was asked to accept by mere faith, wow, truly Joseph is an unsung hero of the Christmas story. Joseph. And then there's Mary, one of the key people of the Christmas story. She may have had a fleeting thought of wanting to miss this whole event. After all, she was only a young gal. Young, but one whose faith was mature beyond her years. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, and do I have some news for you?" That's the Moffat translation, that part. And how did Mary respond to this news? In verse 38, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." People tend to go to one or of two extremes. They either magnify her so much that Jesus is almost out of the picture, or they ignore her and fail to give her the esteem that she deserves. Remember Mary's relative, Elizabeth, in Luke 4 and Luke chapter 1, verse 43, when Mary went to visit her, she said, "But why am I favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, called Mary the mother of my Lord. And that's reason enough to honor her. Mary didn't dispute the good news that was presented to her. She didn't run from it. She didn't dismiss it. No, if this news worried her, it must have only been for a fleeting second, because in verses 46 to 50, it tells us that this good news brought her joy, actually. A joy that compelled her to lift her voice in a hymn of praise. Mary's song contains quotations from and references to the Old Testament scriptures, especially the Psalms and the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Mary hid God's word in her heart and turned it into a song." Her great desire, see, was to magnify her Lord, and not herself. So amazing how these things happened. God's orchestration of events had to be just so to bring the right cast of characters to the birth. And when you stop to think about it, it's amazing how this good news even came about. The birth wouldn't have made much of a splash. You know, if you want to consider it in news terms, it wouldn't have made much of a splash if it wasn't for the decree. Verse 2, in those days that we just read just a minute ago, in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. Caesar Augustus didn't plan on being a part of this story. He wanted to miss this event. except it was his decision some 1,500 miles away in Rome to have a census of all things. I mean, what a crazy thing to try to orchestrate. Caesar started the whole train of events that finally led to Bethlehem. Bethlehem. You smile when you say the name of the town. You know, the good news didn't stand a chance. Even where he was born, you know, was against him. For Jesus was to be born of all places, Bethlehem. What's the old saying that we find in the scripture verses? Can anything good come out of Bethlehem? People made fun of the place. They made fun of it. But they shouldn't have, for there's a lot to be said about this little town. A lot of important things happened there from Old Testament history, but what might be more interesting for us to know is that Bethlehem means house of bread. So it was the ideal place for the bread of life, Jesus, to be born there. Of course, in order for the news to become big, you have to have it be sensational. There has to be something, you know, just extra special about it. Well, talk about sensation. Who shows up? None other than the heavenly host. And why would they be there? Why would they be there? Well, Job 38, verse 7 said that the angels praised God at the original creation, and now they praised him at the beginning of the new creation, Jesus. And what really makes this story interesting, I think, is how far God sent his good news. So far was it sent that it drew the attention of some wise men. Long ways away, Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Verse 9. And after they got through talking to the king a little bit, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, and then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The theologians don't say anything more about the wise men than they do about the shepherds. Except one thing is for sure. They were Gentiles, which reaffirms to us that right from the beginning, folks, right from the very beginning, it was clear that Jesus came to save the whole world. Now, we mentioned them here a minute ago, but we can't skip over them. The shepherds, you know, the shepherds. What special guys. We can't forget them. Yeah, they're kind of the neat part of the whole story, aren't they? Those guys out there. Our story wouldn't be complete without mentioning the shepherds. Did they ever get the good news? Boy, did they ever, huh? But good news or not, they were doing a job that night. They had a responsibility, and even though they probably left others, you know, to watch over the sheep, you know, to go, you know, do what they were commanded to do, they could have had a good reason to ignore the good news, to skip this whole big event. But I guess when an angel speaks, you listen, right? Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." I like what Warren Wiersbe, where'd that come from, huh? I must be thinking of presents already. I don't know. But I like what Warren Wiersbe had to say. He said this about the shepherds, and I quote. He said, "These men were located some distance away, but they were willing to make the trip in order to see the newborn Messiah. They had to search for the location, but they knew what to look for. A newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And you know what? They found him. They found him. And they worshiped him, and they marveled at God's grace and goodness and the miracle he allowed them to see, to be a part of this big event. They got to be a part of it. The shepherds are good examples, folks, for us. They're good examples for us to imitate yet today. For you see, they received by faith the message God sent them, and then they responded with immediate obedience. And what was that obedience? Yeah, for after finding the baby, it tells us that they reported the good news to everybody they ran into, to a whole bunch of people, to others, it says. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to him. The shepherds returned also thankful. You know, the sheep were thankful for that. The shepherds returned back to their flocks, and they were glorifying and then praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Ah, the shepherds. Neat guys. God used some humble shepherds to be the first human witnesses that the prophecy had been fulfilled and the Messiah had been born. The angels, you see, have never experienced the grace of God. They never have. You know, the grace of God was for us to experience. And so they can't bear witness, see, as we can. Telling others about the Savior is a solemn obligation, folks, as well as a great privilege. And we who are believers must be faithful. Must be faithful to that. But, you know, as we think about, the characters of the Christmas story, and we think about how they did respond, unfortunately, not all respond in like manner, like the shepherds did, for example. Dr. Clovis Chappell preached about another shepherd who saw that Christmas star that night, and decades later he held a grandson on his knee. And he told the stirring story of that night, and when he told it and was finished, the boy said, "Is that all? Is that all? What did you do when you heard the good news? Was it true, Grandpa? You know, was it true? Was the Christ child really born?" And the old man, he shook a pathetic, snowy white head, and he answered, "I never knew. Some say it was true. Some say it was all a myth. But I just don't know. You see, I didn't take the trouble to go and see." Isn't this true of our nation and our world, even in generations past, but especially in this era that we get to live in? And yes, even of well-meaning churchgoers, we become like the old shepherd. We become so earth-focused, so wrapped up in our living. And yeah, we celebrate Christmas, but instead of looking for Jesus, instead of dropping everything to go find him, we forget what his birth was all about. We forget our understanding of the incarnation, and along with it, we forget our responsibility, the responsibility that we have as believers. A television interviewer was walking the streets of Tokyo one Christmas, and as in America, Christmas shopping is a big commercial success in Japan. The interviewer stopped one young lady and asked her, "You know, in your opinion, ma'am," he says, what is the meaning of Christmas? How do you understand it? What is the meaning of Christmas?" And she kind of giggled and she said, "I'm not sure, but isn't that the day that Jesus died?" Now, even though we're applauded by an answer like that, her answer really, in a lot of ways, is true. It's true. For a lot of folks, for so many, the real meaning of Christmas, Jesus, has died. And the reason Jesus has died for so many is because we've forgotten him. We've lost him in life and lost him in living. We've pushed him out of this and pushed him out of that. We've forgotten God individually and as a nation. That's why America is drowning in so much tragedy and turmoil. We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten God. We've pushed him out of our lives. But it doesn't have to stay that way. That's the neat thing. It doesn't. And just remembering once again what the real reason is for Christmas, thanks to programs, thanks to preaching, thanks to Christmas music on the radio. Oh, I was enjoying it so much coming up here this afternoon. I missed the turn off to the driveway. I was that caught up in it. But see, when we have that, it draws us back into a spiritual common sense of what Christmas is all about. Think of this. Think of this a minute. Isn't it something how even the recollection of that star still guides us to the reality of what Christmas is? And the recollection of the angels can still put us in awe and wonder, just like those shepherds so long ago. And what did the angels tell them? If you recall, they said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. All of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. It wasn't just the you of way back then. It's to the you of us today, folks. To us today. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Folks, the angel's message to the shepherds was that this baby is your Savior. Your Savior. Your King. Your Christ, your gift, straight from God and just for you. God wanted the shepherds to see the incredibly personal nature of this Christmas gift given for the world. God also wants us to see it too, if we'll just take the trouble to go and see. These shepherds weren't extraordinary people. Their holiness hadn't earned them this special privilege of being the first to hear the news. No, they were just people like us. And God wants people just like us to know how personal this gift really is. We all experience a Christmas celebration tonight. We'll all go to our homes and we'll celebrate in some way or another. And we have traditions. We'll do some special foods. We'll do a lot of really unique and special things. But we'll all go and we'll celebrate in our homes tonight and tomorrow. But one thing we will do that's all alike for all of us is putting those little tags on the packages that say to and from. We do it that way so that when we pass out our gifts, it's easy to see who the gift is for and who the gift is from, right? We do it that way. Had Jesus worn a tag, I think the tag would have read, to Ron and Kathy from God, the baby in a manger. To Mark and Beth from God, the teacher, the healer, the sick, of the brokenhearted. To Dick and Gail, from God who restores the wayward. To Stuart and Rochelle, from God, the one who bore our sins on the cross. You see, it doesn't matter where you're spending Christmas this year, folks, at work, at home, traveling, no matter your circumstances, you have at least one gift that's just for you. And that is Jesus to you, from God. God's very special and personal gift of grace, of forgiveness, of healing, of peace, of direction, of promise, of eternity, a hope to you. from God. Well, that's nice, Ron, but can that old story still move people? It still can. And I'll put it to you just like this. Just think for a moment. Do we got any babies here tonight? Are there any babies? I wasn't able to notice. Do we have some babies? Crowd participation? Yes, do we? Okay. We got some that you can see, right? Or some in your family, some babies that are in your family. Now remember, do you remember putting your finger into the hand of a little baby and you felt its grip? I tell you what, folks, when a baby tugs at your finger, that baby also tugs at your heart. Christmas is the powerful grip of a tiny hand reaching from a bed of straw. It's love tugging our hearts back to God. And like the Bible says, God, invisible in his own nature, became visible in ours. Beyond our grasp, he chose to come within our grasp. And this is the intimately personal nature, folks, of Christmas. God gave us his Son for our sake. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Folks, God loved us. He loves this world so much that he gave us a life-changing, life-giving gift of such a personal nature that we could not begin to dream up such a story, folks, or dream up such a gift in our own human being. We couldn't do that. Friends, if I have a friend here tonight, especially that doesn't have this gift, that doesn't know about this gift, I beg you, don't leave here tonight without receiving it, without knowing about it. Look me up after the service, okay? If you don't know about this gift, please do that. That gift, you see, is eternal life through Jesus. It's God's gift to you. He's reaching out to you with it. And all you have to do is to receive it and open it. And when you do, the good news of Christmas will have a whole new meaning for you the rest of your entire life. Let us pray. Father, when your precious Son became a tiny baby in a stable in Bethlehem, in poverty and simplicity, you still changed our world. As we imagine those surroundings, we join with the shepherds and the wise men in wonder and in praise. We thank you for our material lives. We praise you for our spiritual lives. And we trust in you for our eternal life. We ask you, Lord, to give us a special sense of your presence as we meet people, that we may extend to them the best gift of all, the hope of Christmas, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.